Sister Dorothy asked me if I would talk about hope. And of course, the sisters have heard me for years talk about Cardinal Van Thuan. And he is, for me, the greatest figure of hope in my lifetime. I mean, we certainly have many, many figures all through history who exhibit great hope, Christian hope. But Cardinal Van Thuan in my own lifetime has been a man. He was born earlier than I was born, but I watched him through a number of years and his teaching, and I want to recommend right off the bat, if you haven't read Testimony of Hope. Testimony of Hope. It is a book that contains all of the talks that he gave to the Curia in Rome. John Paul asked him to do the retreat for the Jubilee year 2000. And they're a marvelous, marvelous series of talks. I go back over them again and again. It's quite a book, actually. Very worth reading. Also, a book written by a cousin of his called The Miracle of Hope is also very, very good. That gives you more of his biography from childhood up through his years of captivity and his death. Cardinal Van Thuan was born in 1928, and he became in 19... Let me see if I get my date straight here. He became in 1969, when he was just barely out of his 30s. He was named the bishop of an area in Vietnam. And then in 1975, he was named the coadjutor bishop of Saigon. I'm sorry, in 1965, he was named the coadjutor bishop of Saigon, and the communists did not like that at all. They saw that as conspiracy, that the Vatican was conspiring with some people in Vietnam to control, and so they were putting him in the major diocese of the country, and of course that's what caused the problem. And so in 1975, after he had been a bishop for a number of years, and he was now about 47, and had been named the coadjutor bishop, and so was moving to Saigon, on August the 15th, he was asked to come to the embassy. He was asked to come to the palace to meet with the authorities, and he said that he pretty well knew what was going to happen, and he was arrested, and he was put in prison, and he was in prison for 13 years without benefit of trial, 9 years in solitary confinement. It was quite an ordeal, as you can imagine. As he said, here I was, probably about 48, 49, and he said, and I thought, here I am in the prime of my life, and I'm stuck, you know, I'm confined to this prison with no indication of any kind of term, just nothing. And that's what they did. That was part of the way they broke people down. And so he was confined in a cell that had a little bit of straw on the floor. That's all. It was very damp. And that's where he slept. They brought him something once a day. And he really went through a terrible ordeal without anything external for his own person. It was a great struggle. And it's a way of breaking you down. And so they kept trying to get him to confess, and he said he couldn't confess, there was nothing to confess to. He wasn't in league with the Pope, he wasn't in league with the imperialists, that would be the U.S. taking over Vietnam. But they didn't believe him, and so he continued to be in prison for, as I said, for 13 years without benefit of any trial, not knowing from day to day what would happen. And Cardinal Van Thuan, who at the time was a bishop, said that one night in his prison cell, he said he was nauseated, he ached, he was hot, there was no fresh air, there was nothing. And the only way that he could get any fresh air was to lie on the ground. There was a little bit of, about that much room under the door of the prison cell that he could get a little bit of fresh air, but that was all. And he cried out to God, and he said, what are you doing? Here I am, my people need me. I'm cut off from my people, and in the time of war, my people so need me. They need my help. Why are you removing me? And he said in that cell in the middle of the night, he heard the Lord. It was one of the first times he had heard the Lord. And what the Lord said to him is, what did your brother Paul do? He said, I don't have a brother Paul. But did my brother Paul do? And he thought about it, and then it dawned on him. He said, Lord, you mean St. Paul? What did your brother Paul do? He said, he wrote letters from prison. And there was silence. So the next morning, when a little 4-year-old boy came by the window of his cell, his people found out where he was incarcerated. And they sent this little guy, because who would grab a child, at least they hope not. So he ran by and he said, what do you need? What do you need? And he said, get me old calendars. Get me calendars. And so the boy brought him, and from the backs, on the backs of calendars, he could write. And he wrote all these letters to his people about how they needed to live and what they needed, how they needed to grow in faith and hope and love. And it's quite a marvelous testimony, and those letters are also available and really, really worth reading. Well, that gives you just a little of the overview. But what I want to talk about is why they called him a witness to hope. Why they called him a sign of hope. And actually, his cause is open now for canonization. He died in 2002 of stomach cancer. His cause, as I said, has been open. His blood sister lives in Windsor, Ontario. Another part of his family, they were all exiled from Vietnam. Part of his family lives in Australia, but his sister is here in Windsor, Ontario, not too far away from us. That's the background. But the real miracle is what God taught him under those kinds of circumstances, how to be a beacon of hope. And what I want you to think about is your circumstances, where you are right now, what's going on in your life right now, this moment, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now. What are the circumstances of your life? What are you dealing with? And how much hope do you have? Is it, I hope, which is wishful thinking. Really, we say I hope, but it's more wishful thinking. Or do we have the virtue of hope? Let me tell you how cardinal at the time, father, and then bishop, how he developed his understanding of hope. And it's an amazingly beautiful story. This is what he said. We've got a lot of papers here. He said, the Lord taught him that he was in the present moment. The Lord is revealed to us in the present moment, this moment now, if we seek him. But he said, and another writer I'm going to quote for you, said that we live so much in the past or in the future. The present moment becomes the doorway between the past and the future. We don't live in the present moment. But we live in the past or in the future. And Cardinal Bantuan said that when Bishop Walsh from Maryknoll, when Bishop Walsh was released from prison, and he again sustained a tremendous ordeal. And Bishop Walsh had said, I just waited and waited and waited. When he was released, he said, I've spent years waiting for this. And I understand what he was saying, but Cardinal Bantuan said, I remembered what James Walsh said, and I thought to myself, I will not wait. I will not wait in the hope that I'm going to get out because I have no idea when. All I have is the present moment. The one reality I have is this moment today. And the next moment. And the next. But that's all I really have. I could die the next moment. All I have is this moment. And this is what Cardinal Bantuan wrote. Jesus, I will not wait. I will live the present moment and fill it with love. The road of hope is paved with little steps of hope. Every minute I want to say, Jesus, I love you. And my life is always a new and eternal covenant with you. Every moment I want to be able to sing, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And then he said, every word, every gesture, every telephone call, every conversation, every decision we make, may it be the most beautiful one of our life, moment by moment. Giving our love and smile to everyone without losing a second. He decided in the depths of that prison that that's what he was called to do, was to live moment by moment. For 13 years, he lived moment by moment. He said, to live each moment intensely is also the secret of knowing how to live our last moment. I'll repeat that. To live each moment intensely is also the secret of knowing how to live our last moment. And his point was, if you live in the present moment, all the grace of God that you need is there. And God is there. And you will grow in hope because you will see God's action. In our technological society, it's always faster, bigger, better. How much can I get done? We're like, you know, I just keep thinking of those guinea pigs or whatever they are that go in their little, you know. And I think a lot of times that's what we're doing. And we're tired and we're worn and we're expected to produce this and this and this and this. And how much more would we actually produce if we could live moment by moment? And for Cardinal Van Tuan, he said this was the secret of hope. God was with me in this moment. God was utterly faithful to me in this next moment. All I had was this moment, and I would live it to the full. The end result was that he said one day, you know, he said to his guards, who he wasn't supposed to talk to, and they weren't supposed to talk to him. And he said, you know, he'd go months with nobody saying a word to him. Can you imagine? And he said, I said, you know, I would just love, one of the things I miss so much is singing. And if I taught you the words, could we sing? He said he felt like the Lord prompted him. So he taught them the Veni Creator Spiritus. He taught them all these hymns in Latin. And he said, you have no idea what it was like in the silence of myself to hear a guard at 7 o'clock in the morning running down the steps to take over, singing the Veni Creator Spiritus. He said, you have no idea. And he said, the presence of God began to invade that place. When Cardinal Van Tuan was released 13 years later, he was released to a re-education camp for another few years. And in that camp, it was horrendous. And he said, we each had a little board that was about 12 inches wide, long, that we could sleep on. That's all we had. And he said, there'd be somebody right next to you, you know, jammed in. And he said, I said to the Lord, you are here. You are here. Tell me what to do. You are here. And he said, there in the middle of the night, with 3 drops of wine and a little piece of bread in the palm of my hand, I would celebrate Mass. And he said, gradually, all of the men around me formed a protection so that no guard would see them. And he said, more and more began to come asking to receive. He said, I carried it in my pocket. And he said, after a while, even the Buddhists, he said, would come by and bow. And then they began to draw near in the middle of the night. He said, all I had was that moment. All I had was that moment, each time, each day. I had each moment that was like a pearl where I could hear the Lord and do what he asked me to do. And that moment, every moment, became the most precious of my life. He tells stories of Buddhists who were guards in the prison who went to their shrines and then started going to the shrine of Our Lady in Vietnam to pray for his release. Many of the guards were converted. He said one night, he said, could you just get me a little piece of metal, just a wire? And the guard said to him, no, 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 no wire. And he said, why not? And they said, because we know if you get wire, you will hang yourself. And he said, no, 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 I don't want to kill myself. I'm a Christian. I will not kill myself. I want a little piece of wire so that I can take and put the barbed wire around my neck and that I have this little piece of metal and I can make a cross out of it. I don't want it for a memento. I want it to remind me of who I am. And the guards, at great risk, went out, got him wire, got him metal, helped him to put it together, and they were converted. Now, Cardinal Van Thuan could have gone into that prison and said, "It's hopeless. I'm done for. There's nothing. Nobody can get me out of here. I'm finished. It's hopeless." But he chose to live in the present moment, one moment at a time. I can't tell you how many people were converted in that prison. They all tell stories. "Won't you send your family," because his family was a part of the dynasty in Vietnam, and they said, won't you get your family to kill us if we when you get released?" And he said, no, I won't do that. You're my friends. Moment by moment, he said, "I was called to love." That's what God asked of me, moment by moment, was to love. And I only had the strength moment by moment. Every moment I had to draw from him, I had to drink from him, I had to be sustained by him, but he did not fail me. And he will not fail you. If under those circumstances he could experience the Lord, how much more? When we have more freedom, how much more could we experience God leading us and guiding us and working through us and helping us? And because we experience the grace of God more, we're sustained in hope, even when external circumstances are very difficult and challenging. Our Lady of Medjugorje said, "People are tired. My children are tired. The youth are tired. The city is tired. The country is tired. The world is tired. We're tired." It's because we've lost hope. Maybe not totally. Maybe we haven't fallen into despair. But our hope is limited. Can't expect that much more out of this situation. Can't expect that to change. Can't expect this to be different. Be around these people, that's just the way it is. But what if, moment by moment, we said to the Lord, "What do you want of me? What would you have me do? I give you this moment, Lord. Speak to me. Show me. Guide me." What kind of miracles would we be able to witness to? He was in very difficult circumstances. We're not. But even in these circumstances, we can be trapped by pessimism, cynicism, anger, bitterness, resentment, jealousy, envy. They can trap us. And the Lord wants the hope that is in him by his Holy Spirit to be in us. He wants us to be a sign of hope to people. Not just, "Oh, it'll work out someday, some way, or we'll get through this somehow." I mean, we all say it. I've said it plenty of times. But what the Lord wants is, "Trust me. Look at me. Bring everything to me. Moment by moment by moment. Dedicate it to me." Just listen to these words of Jesus. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Do you personally believe that? Oh, yeah, it's the teaching of the church. Yeah, there is a Holy Spirit. Do you believe that that Holy Spirit dwells in you and is with you and will inspire you moment by moment? I will not leave you desolate. How many times do we feel desolate? I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will come to him and make my home in him. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then he says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know I love the Father. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Hear that. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Live in my love. Abide in my love. That's living in this moment where his love is. He is the eternal now. He is the eternal present. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And then he says, and there are so many promises that he makes in here that I just read John 15, 16, and 17. But I want to conclude this section with this. He says, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and that you love them even as you love me. That's not hyperbole on Jesus' part. That's the truth. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Live in my love. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these know that thou hast sent me. I made known to them thy name, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's the truth. You are a tabernacle of God. and we can get hit left, right, and center, and it can shake us to the point that we feel like, I don't know who I am. Or why, if I did all this, why does God let this happen? Go moment by moment, and God will give you what you need. It's a discipline. Doesn't mean that you can't plan for the future. It doesn't mean you can't do those things. But in your daily living, it's the moment. Draw out of that moment everything that God has for you, and you will grow in hope. You will begin to see His action. There's a wonderful little book by Father Wilfred Stinnison, S-T-I-N-I-S-S-E-N. Some of you would know this, called Into Your Hands, Father. This is another one of those little books that is an absolute gem. Absolute. Priest from Belgium, entered the Carmelites in 1944. I spent a number of years in Sweden. And this is what he says. And I know listening to somebody read can be very boring. I'm going to try to make it interesting, but I can't say this better than he does. So hang in there with me, because this is on page 60 for those of you who want to grab the book. It is an inexhaustible source of wonder and admiration that God's will, which is so great and so far-reaching that it encompasses the whole universe, can make itself so small. Who does not think of the Eucharist here? We can meet God in nature, admire His power and majesty in the storm and His infinite greatness in the ocean, but we meet Him much more in the small host. There, in what appears to be only a little piece of bread, His whole presence is concentrated. It is the same with God's will. I can speculate with Teilhard de Chardin about God's will for the world and humanity, about development toward the omega point, but I live much more in God's will when I do the little, ordinary work He gives me to do right now. Yes, the more consciously I live and the more concentrated I am in the moment, the more I am one with God's will. It is in the very smallest things that I meet the very greatest. And then he says this, the infinity of God comes to us through a funnel. It becomes so little and so narrow that it is difficult for us to recognize it. It comes only drop by drop, moment by moment. It comes to us only drop by drop through a very small opening. The funnel is the present moment. When I put my mouth to the funnel, I am nourished by infinity. When I put my mouth to the funnel, I am nourished by infinity. Even this is something we can experience. The more concentrated we are and the more we live from moment to moment, the more space opens up to us and we feel we are living in a kind of boundlessness. The present moment is the incarnation of God's eternity. Those who live in the present moment drink unceasingly of eternity. Paradox, isn't it? You decrease to increase. You become poor to become rich. You become small to become great. This is the secret of hope. Believe that you are what Jesus prayed for you. Believe what you are and live it moment by moment. That's all you have, is the present moment. It will change your perspective of everything out here. You'll look at it differently. I guarantee it. I don't do it very well, but when I do it, it's there. I look around here and look at you, and I know what some of you are carrying. I know the weight of the burdens. I have a good idea. And when you look at it and you look ahead, you just get overwhelmed. It's too big, it's too heavy, it's too much. I can't. But Christ is in the present moment. Live this moment. And then the next. And then the next with him, drinking from that funnel, the present moment. Drink from it. Ask God to sustain you. And what will happen is the whole vista will open out to you. And you'll, in a certain sense, you'll hear him. You'll see him. You'll know him. You'll know you're not alone. He's with you. I will be with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world. I will be with you. You are not alone. No matter what you're carrying, you're not alone. And the more we can drink from him, the more we will know that, and the more we will become like Cardinal Van Tuan, the more we will become a sign of that presence into the lives of others. When Cardinal Van Tuan was released, they told him that he could go, but he could never stay in Vietnam. His home, his people, he was exiled. John Paul told him to come to Rome. He became the head of the Council for Justice and Peace in Rome. Served a number of years there, and as I said, died of cancer in 2002. And his last moment was beautiful. The way you live each moment, moment by moment, enables you to live that last moment. People need to see hope in you. The world is tired. We're tired. The church is tired, said Our Lady at Medjugorje. The church is tired. The family's tired. We're all tired. And God wants to lift us up. And this is the secret. To live the present moment with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And he will make himself known. And I will close, even though he's not beatified or anything yet, but I do pray, Cardinal Van Tuan, pray for us. Pray for us in this country at this time, the family, the youth, all the situations we're facing politically, religiously, personally. Cardinal Van Tuan, pray for us that we might be signs of hope to one another and within the church and to our families. It's a discipline at the beginning. It's a discipline because you'll be able to see that half your thought, if not 95% of your thoughts, are either about what happened yesterday or by what may happen tonight. And I don't even know that that's going to happen. But we're already living it. We're already living it, and so we're worn out before we even get to it, and we're not able to hear the Lord. Moment by moment. There's a lot in here, and I recommend it into your hands, Father. By Father Wilfred Stinnesson, or any of the four books by Cardinal Van Tuan, but I particularly recommend, especially Lent would be a good time to read his book, Testimony of Hope, because he certainly he wrote out of experience, not out of some, you know, ivory tower. He wrote out of real experience, and he could give witness to the whole environment. In fact, he found out in the prison that they had to change the prison guards every month because they were being converted. And he was not doing it by preaching the gospel, he was just doing it by loving them and talking to them about God when he wasn't supposed to be talking, but he did. And they had to change all his guards until they ran out of guards to assign to him. He made a heaven out of a hell. And he did it simply by surrendering to God. He didn't want to be there. He thought it was a horrible tragedy, and it turned out to be a great blessing, not only for him, but for his whole country. So Cardinal Van Tuan, pray for us.